turn to Matthew. We're just going to touch in Matthew real quick. Just a little review. I just want to remind you, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And we'll start with verse 32. Therefore, whoever, somebody say whoever. Okay. How many know that qualifies it? What does that mean? That means what we taught on Sunday. There's promises in the Bible that are intended for certain people. Somebody was here Sunday. Who, according to the Bible, does God show himself strong to? There's a certain classification. God doesn't show himself strong to everyone. Oh, yes, he does. No, he doesn't. Not according to the word. Amen. See, we think the blessings of God are for everyone. Well, yeah, but doesn't the Bible say that it rains on the righteous and the wicked? That it does. Amen. How many know? Well, how many know it's going to be sunny? How many enjoyed the sunshine today? You know what? Wasn't too hot today. Isn't that nice? But it was nice and sunny. How many enjoyed that? How many know, you know what, there could be somebody, you know what, whatever, you know what, they are not even, you know, not even thinking about God, but they enjoyed the sun today. Why? Because the sunshine is for the, shines on the righteous and the wicked. How many know the rain comes, and man, we got a lot of rain this last rainy season, and it made everything, man, my grass was so green, so nice, didn't even have to water it, God watered it for me. Amen. How many of the guy, maybe the neighbor next door, up the street or down the street, who, you know what, doesn't care about God at all, doesn't even believe in God. How many know his grass was nice too?
That's right.
Why? Because that blessing. But the Bible says God shows himself strong to who? To who? To Daniel, I think you said it. Who does he show himself strong to? The King James says, to those who are loyal to him. Oh, does it come back to you now? I mean, how many here were Sunday? How many here Sunday? Can I tell you what? Start to pay attention to the scripture. Amen. We're here to learn. Amen. How many know it doesn't make any difference that I forgot everything that I learned in algebra class at Pioneer High School? How many know it doesn't make any difference? But how many know there are some things that make a difference? That's one that make a difference. Don't forget that. God doesn't show himself strong to everyone. He shows himself strong to those who are loyal to him. Matter of fact, the Bible says he's looking. His eyes are looking to and fro. Who is he looking for? Those who are loyal to him. And to those who are loyal to him, he's going to show himself strong to. That's what the Bible says. So there's verses in the Bible, and we just want to say, oh, God's a good God, and he just loves everyone. Yeah, he does. How do we know that? Because the Bible says he does that. But there's certain other specific promises that apply to him. Amen? Does that make sense? Covenant people. Not only covenant people, believing people. I said believing people. I said believing people. How many know it's important to believe God? That's what we're talking about. His word, but when you believe it, it becomes your power. Amen. Well, I don't believe that. Well, it's not going to help you then. Amen. Amen. How many know you could have a clicker that could open your garage door? It could be right in your car. But if you don't believe that clicker is going to open that garage door, you said, no, that don't work. When I was a kid, I always had to get out of the car and open it up for my parents. See, I don't believe, well, how I want a little box with the clicker thing. That ain't gonna, you got to get out and open it. Well, what's going on? My tradition of men is causing that clicker to have no effect in my life. Oh, come on, somebody here today. Come on, do I need to get some popcorn out? Wake you guys up, amen. I'm serious. I feel like you're not awake. Amen. Who's awake today? See that clicker. Listen, that clicker will work if you, this is deep, if you click it. Listen, the clicker won't. You can have the clicker in your car, but until you activate that clicker, how you activate it? You pull it down and you go click, and all of a sudden, you know what? That garage door starts going. Oh, I didn't even get out of my car. See, how many know some people don't, you know what? I mean, you know, if you might tell somebody who, let's say they were in you know what? Let's say they I don't know. Let's say they somehow, you know what, went to the moon for 30 years. And they came back, you know what? And you said, hey, there's these things, they're called clickers now, and you can just click the garage door open. And they go, Dad, don't worry. They might not even believe you. Is this making sense to anybody? And how many know they would be wrong? How many know, watch this, anyone, how many know anyone can use that clicker? Oh, this is a good illustration. Why? Because God is not a respecter of persons. Anybody can use the word. Anybody. Okay. So, where was I? Oh, third one. Therefore, whoever confesses. Therefore, whoever confesses. Well, I don't believe it makes any difference, you know, what you say. Huh, that's weird. Jesus thinks it makes a big difference. Amen. Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before the Father who is in him. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Then he gives some specific man that you might have a hard time confessing God before. Want to kind of, you know what, with your cousin, you want to kind of be a cool cat. The Bible says you've been given a spirit of boldness. You know why you've been given a spirit of boldness? Because you need that spirit of boldness. Can I preach to somebody tonight? I think we have in our what do they call it when you're trying to reason with somebody? No, not debate. They say this guy is a. Robbie Zacharias is one of them. You're funny. Apologist. We in our you know, skinny jeans, Grey Poupon Christianity, you know what? Listen, and it's important that we would be able to make sensical arguments for God. Absolutely. Say absolutely. And how many know Paul was an expert at this? How many know Paul was very good at this? Read the Gospels. Very sound. The Gospels. Read the letters he wrote to this. Very sound. But can I tell you what? Paul says, I don't come with eloquence of speech. See, I think we can get, I believe in studying, you know what, the word and being able to give a good foundation of why you believe. I totally believe in that. And I listen to good apologist like Robbie Zachariah. Great. You know, good, good. But you know what? Paul doesn't say that that is what gets people saved. He says a demonstration of the gospel. That's how I come. That's how Jesus came. And so what he's going to do here is he's going to say, hey, understand this, that you need to confess me before men. And there's this thought that, no, if I'm just too bold, then it's gonna my family all going to think I'm wacko. And I gotta just tone it down a bit. Well, how many know there's a time to ratchet up a bit? I believe today is the time to ratchet up a bit. Amen. Not tone it down a bit. Can I get an amen to this?
Amen.
I'm asking, does somebody testify and say, I believe, Pastor, you're right. Listen, we need to walk in love to everyone. Man, we need to get a revelation of walking in love with people, amen. But can I tell you what? Paul walked in love with people when he told them, hey, you're wrong. Amen. See, we think walking in love is not standing up for what's right. How many know there's right and there's wrong? Amen. 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 I listened to a guy, this week, and it was at a campus, and it was proclaiming the gospel. And they wanted to say that, you know what, this guy isn't loving. And he was saying, no, I am loving. You know what, I used to be like some of you. You know what, fornicator, drunkard. You know what I mean? All kind of stuff. But he said, you know what, I don't do that anymore. And he was bold. I listened to him. He wasn't rude, but he was telling them the truth. Amen. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to say, no, you, that's rude. Well, you know what? When the apostles were persecuted, they told, you know what they told them? Yeah, go ahead, keep on talking, but stop talking about Jesus. No, we can't stop talking about Jesus. Jesus is the only power that's going to, there's by no other means are people going to be whole except through Jesus. Amen. 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 Okay, so then he's going to start going through some examples of people that are close to you, and you're like, I don't want to offend those people. Here's a thought. How about we stop offending Jesus? See, Jesus is saying, hey, love me more than anybody else. Because you get all offended, you know what? You get all, you know what? You get all sensitive to everybody around you, but you need to be sensitive to me. Amen. 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 So what are we talking about? We're talking about proclaiming that what God says is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. We need to be a lot more bold than we've been. Turn over to John chapter 5. I told you we're going to get there tonight. Look at your neighbor and say, we made it. John chapter 5. Let's fly through this. Watch this. Verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. How many know where we're going with this? Guys, when I ask you a question, respond by raising your hand. How many know this story? How many? I apologize. I didn't ask you a correct question. How many ever heard this story before?
Oh, I heard it.
Raise your hand. Okay. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to learn something new about this story tonight. How many know the Word of God is always pregnant? Always can learn something new. Okay, you're going to learn something new here. Understand, your expectation will determine much as far as how much you receive. Amen. Down Jerusalem by the sheep gate, pool, blah, 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 blah. Verse 3. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For the angel went down at a certain time and the pool and stirred up the water. And when whoever stepped in at first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there whom had the infirmity 38 years. Somebody say 38 years. Look at your neighbor and say, 38 years is a long time. See, what's my point? You can start believing that you're never going to recover. There's people who've been married a while, and they say, man, I've been married 38 months, and it ain't getting better. Every month it gets worse. You need to be careful what you believe. Yeah, but my husband's never going to change. Okay, watch it, Jackson. Jackson. Well, I don't think I'm ever. By your words, you're justified. By your words, you're going to be condemned. And Jesus saw him, verse 6, lying there and knew that he had already been in this condition a long time. He knew this wasn't somebody who had just been there for 3 months. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Wow, that's a great question, is it not? How many know sometimes misery loves company? No, how many know sometimes we can get in our mess and like our mess? I'm just saying. Now watch this. Verse 7. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Now listen to me, because you're going to catch something right here. Here's the point. Will you believe what Jesus tells you? Will you act on what Jesus tells you? I don't know. Watch it. How long he been sick? See, there's a part of all of us that we just will do the we'll just fall back to what is in the past. And see, God's word, your power, only happens when you will activate and believe God's word. See, that clicker will never, ever, it can be right there in your car. You can be right there in front of the garage door, and it will never, ever open. Not because it's not capable, but because you don't activate it. Does that make sense? But watch, I want you to watch this. This guy's going to get up. You know why he's going to get up? Because Jesus told him to get up. Hey, listen, Jesus tell a lot of people a lot of things that never happen in their life. Why? Because they don't do what Jesus told them to do. Amen. Watch this. I'll prove it to you. Watch this. Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." Now watch this. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. Amen. God told Tamara, how many believe God still speaks to people? You know, these cynical people. Oh, God, go, you know, walk. Now, and listen, don't say God told me lightly. But don't act like God doesn't speak to people. Amen. God speaks to people all the time. God spoke to Tamara and said, and gave her some advice to say, when you get bad news from a doctor, it's critical where you go in that first 5 minutes. I believe that. Watch this. Can I show you something that would indicate that what God told Tamara is right? Watch this. And immediately, say immediately. You know what? When God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, the Bible says he got up early in the morning. Amen. See, listen, there's a real, I'm not saying that you can't sit there and sometimes go, man, I want to make sure it's God. But be careful. Because the next thing, you know what? The Bible says, if you're going to and fro, oh, I believe it, oh, I'm not sure. I believe it, oh, I'm not sure. I believe it, I'm not sure. You know what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. Amen. Like the guy who goes out, you know, he's the crosswalk, and it says walk, and he starts to walk, and he thinks, oh, I better turn around. And then it says walk, and he's going back and forth. What's happening? What's going to happen? Man, the Mack truck is going to hit him down. Is that not right? No, no, no. Jesus spoke to him. And he immediately did what Jesus asked him to do. You say, yeah, but it seems to indicate that he was able to do it. He was healed. Amen. I believe the power to heal people happens to all kinds of people that are too busy looking at the 38 years to recognize that the healing power of there is right there for them to receive it. Amen. Amen. You know, God has given you. God gives you instruction. Says here. You know what he says to Noah? He says, build an ark for yourself. How many know when it started to rain, Noah was glad that he built that ark? See, what I'm saying is a lot of times the power is in what God said, and you're never walking in the blessings that God has for you because you don't activate what God says to do. Amen. Amen. Turn to you guys in the back. Help me out. Turn to Matthew. Mark. Mark. Turn to Mark. Chapter 11. 11 and started verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, who cursed the fig tree? What did he say to the fig tree? How did he curse it? What did he say about the fig tree? He said, no one's ever going to eat figs out of you anymore. Watch this. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look. The fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Now notice Jesus' response. And I believe his response, he's responding to what Peter said. See, sometimes we have to take this in context. He's responding to what Peter said. What did Peter say? I believe Peter, from his Jesus' response, Peter's saying, look, I can't believe it happened. Why? Why do I think that? Well, look at the look. Good hermeneutics. Look at the context. Look what it says. So Jesus answered. Everybody say, so Jesus answered. So Jesus answered. See, that's saying it's giving you indication. There's this response of this amazement and unbelief that what he did actually happened. And so Jesus answered in response to the unbelief. And said to them, have faith in God. Now let's put it all together. Have faith in God. Is Jesus God? He's saying, hey, Peter, what's your problem, man? Of course. What should have Peter said? Peter should have said, oh, dude, look, just like Jesus said it was going to happen, I knew it was going to happen. That's what Peter said. He didn't say that. He said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree. And Jesus, in response, so Jesus said, man, Peter, have faith in me. What do you think? My words aren't powerful? See, that's the issue. God's word, your power. How does it become your power? It becomes your power. How did it become my power when Jesus healed my back? Because I got up and said, by his stripes, I'm healed. Amen. Well, Pastor, how did you feel? See, that's a problem. You know what? We go so according. I spent a whole 3 weeks talking about our feelings. We go, how do I feel? Oh, I don't feel. I don't feel. And then how we feel is how we speak. And how we speak is, you know what, is runs our life. Oh, I don't feel. I don't feel. I feel like, you know what? We lean into, you know what? We figure everything. You know what? We lean into our own understanding. You know what? God tells us to give something. And we think, oh, we can't do that. We can't afford that. Yeah, but how about the passage in the Bible that talks about they gave out of their poverty? Yeah, put that in your purse and swing it, Jackson. But see, that's not where we live, because the truth is that's not what's preached. What's preached is a comfortable Christianity. You know what? You know what? Oh, I mean, I heard a, you know what? I was listening. Church, you know what? Well-known church. Was watching the church service. Was appalled. Listen, if I asked you to pray over the offering, true story. Pray for your pastor. He has the boldness to correct in public what is done in public. And you got up here and said, bless everyone. Those who give and those who don't. Listen, I'm going to forewarn you. Don't anybody say amen to this. Those who give and those who don't give and those who can't give. If you said that in the service, I'd be as kind as I could. But I come up here on stage and I say, hey, listen, brother, let me take it over. Let's do the handoff. Give me like the wrestling. Let's tag out. Sit on down for a minute, okay? Love you. Sit on down for a minute. Why? Completely ridiculous prayer. Why? Because I'm not going to pray. But here's why. It's a ridiculous prayer. God is a reaping and sowing God. Let me teach you New Testament. Give bountifully and you'll reap bountifully. Give sparingly and you'll reap sparingly. Let me just teach you what Jesus. There's nothing that's going to take, no seed. No, there's, you know, nobody looks out and goes, I don't know what happened. You know, look, a virgin harvest. A virgin, what's a virgin harvest? No seed was sown. All of a sudden, there was just grass came out of nothing. How many know there's no virgin harvest? Come on, how many know there's no virgin harvest? No. The seed has to be planted in the ground, and unless the seed dies, Jesus says. Amen. Are you learning something? So he's saying, like, no, wait a minute. You've got to believe in the power of my word. Let's go back to John. Immediately, man saw it. Watch verse 9, chapter 5. Immediately, the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day, it was the Sabbath. How many know it's okay to do good on the Sabbath? How many know it's okay to do good on the Sabbath? Amen. And Jesus therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. Is it not lawful for you to carry your bed? Shouldn't carry your bed. What is he like? He's like, oh, I don't know about all that. He answered and said, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said that to you? Take up your bed and walk. But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Amazing passage right there for you to understand. There's power in his word. Period. This guy didn't even know who he was. Are you understanding me? You don't have to understand. You don't have. Jesus said this. We get so bogged down in a form of godliness and not understand the scripture. Remember, I heard a guy this week, and he said this. He was a Muslim guy, and here's his prayer. Here's his prayer. He prays this. Got born again. Amazing testimony. Here's his prayer. God, I don't think that you're real. But if you are, show yourself to me. No, that's not. You can't get saved by that kind of prayer. That's ridiculous. How many know this guy got saved? Now, why? Why? See, listen, we've got to take our Christian-ish stuff that we've learned or wrote, just, you know what, and some of it is great, but filter it through the Word of God. Jesus said, anyone who seeks what? Will find. What was he doing? He was seeking. He was seeking God in a very ignorant way, but doing what he knew to do, to say, God, I don't even believe you, but if you do. How many know Jesus said, when they said increase our faith, Jesus said, what did he say? You don't need a little faith. You don't need any more faith. You got faith. All you need is a little faith. Amen. Are you learning something? See, how many know I'm trying to get you to think? What's the power? The power is in the Word of God. The power to save this guy is in the Word that Jesus said, anyone who seeks is going to find. Are you catching this? Are you catching this? Watch this. But verse 13, but the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, watch this. Oh, my goodness. See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Oh, let's park here for a minute. Can I get an amen here? Can we park here for a minute? Why? Because we need to understand. You know what? We think we can do all kind of sin and it doesn't affect our life. Jesus healed this guy. He walks away. Watch this. Jesus. Finds him. Why? Because a lot of times, this happens a lot of times. You know what? Jesus said, you be careful. Jesus didn't say this. This is Old Testament. But, Jesus, you know, Jesus is the author of the whole thing. Right, right. Okay. But in Deuteronomy, God tells the Israelites, hey, I'm going to bless you. And when I bless you, you better be careful, Jackson. Because here's what's going to happen. What my dad told me over and over, don't get too big for your britches. You start walking in the blessings of God, and all of a sudden, you're too busy for God. I know this. I've seen this over and over and over. Businessmen, they're humble, barely scrape two nickels together, believe God. Next thing you know, they're doing some car business. They get a car, they truck business, they get a truck, then they get two trucks, then they get eight trucks. They're faithful, faithful, faithful. Then they get 20 trucks, and all of a sudden you don't see them no more. Where are they? Oh, they got too busy. Amen. Why is God going to tell him this? Here's why. Because he loves him. See? The same good choices that cause you to get out of your mess, you know what, are the good choices that are going to keep you out of your mess. Amen. Amen. Armstrong taught us that in the area that you've been burned before, how many ever been burned, set up, you know, Satan has taken advantage of areas, certain weaknesses that you had, and he took advantage of those areas. Hey, you know what? You might want to put two big dogs on that gate. I said, you might want to put two big dogs on that gate. Why? Because that's, Armstrong taught us that that's area many times is exactly, he'll go back in that area that you've been susceptible for. He said, Pastor, do I have, no, don't walk in fear. Just put two big dogs there, okay? And so he's saying, no, listen. Look what he says. Look what he says. And Jesus found him in the temple. Found him. Why? Because he loves him. Same reason he found you and you came in here. And the Word of God slapped you upside one head and down the other. Amen. Amen. And you got mad at me. Amen. I had one lady one time tell me, this is a true story. It's when we were in the North Sanctuary. And one time, and I was preaching on finances. You know, you preach on finances, man, you're going to shake some trees. Amen? Amen? Why? Because, can I tell you why? Because people, you know what? They don't want you to talk about areas. It's just like a doctor. You know what I mean? Doctor, you know what? You got a sore arm. It don't make any difference if he touches your leg. You don't care. Preach on. Preach on. Touches your foot. Preach on. You know, hallelujah, doctor. Go ahead. But he start touching your arm. Hey, jack off. You know what? Get away, man. Back off, Jackson. Amen? Amen? Is that not right? That's right. He's like, hey, knock it off, man. Right? Don't. Why? That's what happens in the church. People run from the medicine. They are, watch this, the medicine that's going to save them. Amen. Amen. So he finds him and says, guy, no, you better watch it. Because there's a reaping and a sowing that takes place. Watch this, next verse. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. Yeah, I don't want to read too much into that, but that might not be good. I don't know. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. Can I tell you what? Jesus is the only one who can heal you. I mean, inside, outside, completely. Jesus is the only one. You know, you'd think people would be happy when people get healed. Would you not? But they don't. Some of them get upset. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. My Father's working, and I'm working. How's the Father working? The Father's working, and I'm working. How's the Father working? What? What's the Father doing? How's the Father working? Through Jesus. What is the Father doing? What's Father doing? He's working through Jesus, but what work is he doing? Guiding. Now we're getting close. Good. How's he guiding? He's speaking. See, sometimes we got to break this stuff down. The Father's working. What do you think? He's got a tow truck? You think he's got a, you know, shovel? You know what I mean? You know, what does this stuff mean? He's working and Jesus is working. How is he working? He's working by speaking to a spirit-filled man. Now, it is his son. It's his first begotten son. But he's working, and Jesus is working. How's the Father working? Come on, I just told you the answer. It's easy. How's the Father working? He's speaking. How's Jesus working? See, whoa. Put it in context. What just happened? Jesus said, I don't do anything, but I hear it from the Father first. The Father, I guarantee you, led him to that pool Bethesda, led him to that man, spoke to Jesus, said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go up. Jesus said, I don't do anything, but first I hear it from my Father. You know what that means? That means if you read Jesus doing something, what you can understand is he first heard the Father speak to him. How's Jesus work? How's the Father work? This is the third time. I'm going to ask you two more times. How's the Father work? How's the Father work? Everybody say it. How's the Father work? Speaking. Say it four times. How's the Father work? Speaking. How's Jesus work? That's true, but that's too deep right now. How does Jesus work? Actually, that'll preach. That was awesome. But I don't got time to go there. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll talk about that Sunday, maybe. How does Jesus work? By listening and being obedient to do whatever the Father said to do. Did you have it? Good job. Give me a high five alive. Appreciate it. Good. That's exactly how he works. He works by hearing and then does what he tells him to do. Now watch this. Put it in context. What just happened? There was this guy, been sick for 38 years. God and Jesus are working. And what are they working? They're working the same thing they're trying to work in your life, to restore you from brokenness. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever. They're doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing tonight as God is speaking to me to speak to you. And as you hear the word of God, when you will be obedient to do what he asks you to do, just like that man who had been sick for 38 years, you're going to get up. If you get up, he had the words of Jesus. But all kinds of people have the word of Jesus and never activate what he says. Why? Because they don't believe it. Jesus said, Romans 3, chapter 3, what if some don't believe? Will it change the faithfulness of God? No, God is still faithful. The word is powerful, whether you believe it or whether you don't believe it. The word of God don't make any difference. You know what? You all cannot believe it. God says it don't make any difference. It's still powerful. You can all not click the clicker in the car. It doesn't make any difference. Every single one of you think it won't work, it won't work, it won't work, it won't work, it won't work. One guy can come over and take it and click it and open it up. And you go, wow, that guy was so lucky. Look at that. No, he wasn't lucky. Oh, that look, the elect of God. No, that's not the elect of God. That's somebody who, you know what? The Bible works for anybody who will work, hear what God is saying, and activate it and do what God is doing. Guess what? They'll hear from God, and he will do. You know what? It'll happen to any of you, any of us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many hearing what I'm saying? Any of us. Verse 17, but Jesus answered, my Father has been working until now, and I've been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he did not only broke the Sabbath, but he said that God was his Father, making himself equal to God. Don't have time to teach that. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. I've told you that before over and over again. There it is, chapter 5. But what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Amen. For the Father judges no one, but has commanded all judgment to the Son. And all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. What are they doing? They're not honoring the words of the Son. They don't honor Jesus. And Jesus is saying, are you kidding me? You don't honor me, you don't honor the Father. Why? Because we speak the same thing. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes my word, watch this, verse 24, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and he and shall not come unto judgment, but has passed into death, into life. Who is that for? Those who are going to click and say, I believe Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross. I believe my sin is forgiven. You know, there are going to be a whole bunch of people who always had the opportunity to come into the kingdom of God, but didn't click the clicker. Yeah. Why? Because they didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't even believe in God. They believed in that unscientific person at the university who told them Darwin is what happened. That's how man was developed. Totally unscientific. Completely unscientific. Hey, how many know just because they say it's scientific doesn't mean it's scientific? Hey, we need to take it back. Amen. Math, absolutely, virtually impossible for man to be developed out of one cell multiplying. Why? Not enough time. Not enough time. Absolutely impossible. Ridiculous. Who will teach you that? The scientists will teach you that. Science. What's science? You can prove it. You can look at it. You can examine it. It's observable. There's not enough time. Well, how come they didn't teach? How come they didn't teach me that? Because they're prideful. They're the one who's going to call us unscientific. No, and I just got enough intelligence. Look at your neighbor. Say, Pastor's bilingual. Tell me I'm not. Amen. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those will hear life. For the Father has life in himself. He also has granted the Son to live in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment on also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, I'll teach this, but we'll continue this, because I got explosive stuff next week that I don't want to just rush in there. That's okay. We had enough explosion for one night. Amen? Okay? But watch this. We'll have one more M80 before we finish. Right here. Watch this. Amen. For, watch this. And go back to 38. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Now watch this. Everybody say all. Say, it don't make any difference what you believe, this is going to happen. A lot of people didn't believe it was going to rain. And it started raining. Watch this, verse 28. And come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life. How many know that's going to be a good day? For some people. Is it going to be good for everybody? Watch this. And those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now let's park it here. Let me teach you something. Somebody says, wait a minute. I've heard you teach funerals, and you've said right in the funeral, taught people that God doesn't judge, put all your good things on one side. See, that's what people believe. If there is a God, here's how it's going to work. We're going to put all the good stuff that I did on one side. We're going to put all the bad stuff on the other side. If the good stuff outweighs the bad stuff, I'm good. I'm going to heaven. Is that not right? That's what most people believe. That's what most people believe. Amen? Yeah, but that's what Jesus said, right? That's what he said, right? Oh, look at it. He didn't say that? Read it again. They're going to come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. How many know we've got to rightfully divide the word of truth? Pastor, it seems like you're saying that. Remember what Jesus said? How many are good? See, here's the problem. If you had 100 people and you said, put all the good stuff you did on one side and put all the bad stuff on the other side, how many know all 100 people would think they did more good than bad? Oh, there it is. Come on, preach it. How many know all 100 people? How many know if we had 1,000? No. I'm not that bad. I got more good. I'm asking you. I'm just asking. Don't get all religious on me. How many would recognize you probably did more good things than bad things?
Come on.
I know you smoked a lot of dope, but raise your hand. You know what? Come on. Come on. Raise your hand if you think. Come on. You think I don't know. I know. Come on. Raise your hand if you think you did more good things than bad things. Okay. But see, most of us, we just think, I did more good things than bad things. Well, let me teach you the word of God. No, you didn't. Because your good things, you know what? Your good things aren't that good. The Bible says your righteousness is like filthy rags to God. How many know a lot of stuff we do good is just because we're motivated wrongly? How many know, can we get honest? How many know a bunch of the good stuff you did was just because, you know what, you were manipulating somebody? Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Amen? How many know, no. How many know, some of you are so sweet, just talking to you giving me a cavity, you know what I mean? Come on, no, really. I know you guys are sweet. You really are. You know what, I know a lot of us here, we're sincere, we love God. But can I tell you what? It's not talking about good works here. You know what it's talking about here? It's talking about walking in humility and saying, I need Jesus. How many know humbling out and saying you need Jesus is a really, 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 really great thing? Watch this. And how many know saying, I don't need Jesus. I don't believe in God. I don't believe that there's a Son of God. I don't believe that there's a Savior. And I believe, even though the word says different, I believe everyone inside is really pretty good anyway. How many know what that is? Can I tell you what that is? That's incredibly prideful. And one of the biggest sins that God ever sees on the face of this earth in people is pride. Amen. So what do we need to do? We need to humble out, and we need to be like that man who was humble enough when Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. You know what he did? He took up his bed and walked. We need to be like that man. You know what? When Jesus came in and he had a withered hand, you know what Jesus said to the man with the withered hand? He said, stretch out your hand. What kind of trick is that? You know what the Bible says? The man stretched out his hand. Say, Pastor, how did he do it? I don't know. For all I know, he could have gone like... For all I know, he could have took his hand and lifted it up and stretched it out. You know what the Bible says? James says, if you're sick, listen to me, if you're sick, he says, call upon the elders. Listen to me. Sick people should call upon the elders. Yeah, but they should come to the hospital. No, you ought to call them. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying the church shouldn't visit sick people. I'm not saying that. I'm saying sick people should have faith when they get sick to call on the church and say, man, I'm sick. Can you pray for me? Why? You know what the Bible says? That is going to raise up the sick. The prayer of faith. You're saying, no, I know the doctor said this, but I'm gonna call Carlos, man. I'm gonna have him pray. I know he believes the word of God. I'm gonna have Carlos pray for me. Amen. I'm gonna call Joanne. I'm gonna have Joanne pray for me. I'm gonna call George. I'm gonna have George pray for me. No, I'm gonna activate. I'm gonna take my clicker. Because here, the word of God is gonna be powerful in my life. Because I'm going to activate it. I'm going to believe the word of God. Amen. Have you heard God speak to you tonight? God speak to us. Help us to not just hear it, but help us to catch it. Help us to believe it. Help us to do whatever you ask us to do. Give whatever you ask us to give. Forgive whoever you ask us to forgive. Serve in any way that you ask us to serve. Help us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen.